Okay, let's start at Proverbs chapter 21. We're going to finish off this chapter this morning, Proverbs chapter 21. We'll stand for the reading of God's word when you're able to. I'm just going to read the three verses here, so it's 29 on down. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we approach some comforting verses of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember where our strength comes from. We don't lean on the arm of the flesh. It's weak. It will not hold us up. Lord, we pray that we would our sustenance would be in you. We ask that you be with those who are sick, unable to be here. We pray that you would be with them and give them a special blessing. Lord, we just pray you'd meet the needs of all of our people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're picking it up in the second half of verse 29. So 29B. So we looked at the wicked man hardening his face. We're picking it up now at, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Now, as we look at that second half, it might make us wonder, well, who's the subject there? He. Because doesn't the scripture indicate that God directs the righteous? And God certainly does. We were told that the Lord directs the steps of the godly. So a person may wonder if this he is spoken of the Lord, but I don't believe that is the direct interpretation. Because the Lord isn't referenced in this verse. And if we try to put him there, it might end up being that we've shoehorned him in. So let's, first of all, we have to look at this description here. But as for the upright, well, who's this talking about? The upright person. The person who is walking in holiness, who's walking in righteousness, who's already walking in obedience to the Lord, who's on that bright and shining path. It's speaking about the upright person who is seeking God's will, God's leadership. It's not talking about a person deciding, I'm going to direct my paths, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to go that way. It's a matter of the upright person with knowledge asking the Holy Spirit to lead them, to point the direction, and then they direct their steps in that way. We don't land in certain places just by happenstance. You know, the life of the Christian doesn't. There's nothing that just happens. Just because the stars aligned, there's no coincidences in the Christian life. God directs our steps, and that's the beautiful thing of trusting in God and believing in God, that we know that he is ahead of us. He's directing the way. He's like, I'm not into sports, you know that, but he's like the guy that's like I think you'd call it a quarterback, right? The guy that's kind of running ahead of the guy with the ball. Isn't that right terminology? No? Well, who's the guy that's ahead of the guy with the ball? The blocker? Okay. Well, in a sense, you know, God, he goes ahead of us. And he opens up a path for us to go through. So this isn't a matter of us taking matters into our own hands and saying, I am going to decide to go this way. I'm going to decide to go that way. No, we commit our way unto the Lord, and he directs our steps. And we choose to follow him. And that has to be a conscious decision to follow him, to follow his guidance, to follow his leadership. Because again, it's not just going to happen. God won't just push us, pull us. You know, you think of the push-pull advertisements you see for, you know, these dealerships. They want you to push-pull your old vehicle into their dealership, and you'll get a trade-up value. And, of course, they've already jacked the price of their vehicle, and they'll give you $500 for yours. And, you know, I don't think it's usually a good deal. But God doesn't push-pull us. He points us in the right direction. His Holy Spirit convicts us. But we have to direct our attention to following his steps. So the upright man or woman directeth their hearts and steps in God's way, and then God does the rest. We don't just happen to land in the right spot. We go to the right place because we prepared our hearts to follow the Lord, and we aim our hearts and our steps in his way. John Gill said, "The man that is upright in heart and walks uprightly, he directs his way according to the word of God. And if he does amiss, when sensible," that means when he becomes aware of it, "he is ashamed of it and amends." And so as the Lord directs us, there are times when sometimes we step off the path. We get our feet stuck in the mud and we're like, "This isn't the path." And we get back on the path and we wash those feet off and seek the Lord's forgiveness and keep going. Okay, let's take a look at the next verse. "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." Don't you love that? That we serve a God that cannot be outwitted. And Satan sure seems to think that he could outwit God. But God cannot be outwitted by Satan or by any of the earthly powers. You know, you hear sometimes some of these atheists that so vehemently deny that there is a God. Well, you know what? They're going to find out that they're wrong. If they continue in that error, they will find out they're wrong. They can't devise counsel against God. So not only is this verse a strong fact, but it is also a confidence knowing that no person or demonic force can stand against God. You know, I'm constantly amazed at Satan and how, you know, he would try to bring about Christ's death. And I guess I could understand why he might try to bring about Christ's death ahead of the cross, you know, by stoning or by pushing him off the precipice there in Nazareth. Because he would know that would not be the blood sacrifice that was needed. But to think that he entered into the heart of Judas to betray Christ, I mean, he fell right into God's plan. Satan did. So I'm amazed that he would work to bring Christ to the cross. And I believe that it's not that he was ignorant. I believe that he knew the pictures and the types. But I think that Satan felt that this earth, this kingdom, was his zone. You think of some of the Assyrians when they're coming up against the Israelites, and the Israelites were fighting in the mountains, and they won. And the Syrians, they were dismayed. And then their people said, "Yeah, well, maybe it's because their gods are the gods of the hills and the mountains. If we go after them in the plains, we will win, because our gods are the gods of the plains." They go to the plains the next year. They wage war against Israel. They lose. They come to realize that their God is not just the God of the mountains, he's the God of the valleys as well. And so Satan was so mistaken. If he thought that, well, you know what? Christ is in my domain. This is my power. He will not be able to rise again. I will destroy him. He was obviously mistaken, wasn't he? "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." And, you know, we read that word wisdom. Normally, we associate it with something that is good. But there is worldly wisdom that is contrary to God's wisdom. And this worldly wisdom acknowledges certain rules and laws and principles. And, you know, a person who is worldly wise learns how to use the system, how to abuse the system, how to abuse trusts, how to get away with things in this life. But they won't get away with it in the next. No wonder there's no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against the Lord. No understanding. You know, these people that are, they're so educated in man's thinking. I mean, I believe education, good education, can be helpful. You know, it's, but there is so much wicked education out there that is completely false. And, you know, the majority of it, of that false wisdom, conspires against God. It wants to destroy him, wants to make him irrelevant to the people of this world. So there's no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel. You can't counsel, you can't wage war, you can't plan, game board against God. I think that's what it's saying there, the counsel aspect, is that you cannot successfully plan an attack or something against God or even God's people. You will not be successful. So nothing can stand against the Lord. And, you know, this should be comfort to us, shouldn't it? Because if we're walking in obedience to God, though we might go through some difficult times, no person, no group, no demonic force could have power over us. Our strength is in the Lord. Let's take a look at some verses. So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, people devise all sorts of wicked imaginations in their heart. And we know that that was the case when the Lord destroyed the earth the first time. And then as the people began to build up, and I'm going to say the first time, I'm talking about obviously the flood, the destruction that's going to come where the whole earth is going to be completely destroyed, but rather during the flood when the people of the earth were destroyed, the animal kingdom destroyed except for those that were kept in the ark, and the earth's topography was changed some. So nevertheless, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. So in the reference to the Tower of Babel, Scripture says that every imagination of their heart was wicked continually. The devices of the heart. And that's why he made them speak all those different languages, so they had to stop their building. Well, can you imagine? Wouldn't that have been kind of fun to have watched that? An eye in the sky? You know, pass me that hammer. And it's like, what did you just say? You know, and just the confusion that would have created. Oh, I imagine that it caused a lot of consternation. Okay, let's look at Isaiah chapter 7, please. Isaiah 7, verses 5 through 7. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein, and set a king in the midst of it, even the sons of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Well, So not only does the Lord love his own, he hates, on the flip side of that, he hates those that scheme and plot against his people. And he takes pleasure in frustrating their plans. I can imagine that would be an interesting pastime, to take pleasure in frustrating their plans. How did they find out about this? You know, we had this all worked out. And every person has a different situation in their life. I think I might have mentioned this situation already, but just to give you for an illustration, you know, I was talking with a friend of mine who's in a different province that has a work partner that takes a perverse pleasure in mocking people in front of others, and my friend is having a hard time with this because it's destroying, you know, her confidence. It's embarrassing when this person says things about my friend in front of other patients. This is in the EMS environment. And, you know, my friend was kind of at a crossroads to decide about a job opportunity that would put her working with this person much more. And, you know, I was saying, well, you just got to find the Lord's will, first of all. What is the Lord's will? And if the Lord indicates that you are to go on, take that opportunity, then this person cannot stand against you because they're standing against God. If you're doing what's right, and I believe she is, then that person cannot stand against you. And you just got to be bold and strong. Remember, if we're in the right, if we're in obedience to the Lord, everything else, all these devices, they might be loud, clamorous. They'll just fade away. They have no power. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Next chapter from Isaiah 7. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. A few times he says, gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Get yourself ready. Get ready for the battle. You'll be broken in pieces. Isaiah 14, verse 27. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out. Who shall turn it back? Stretched out in the sense of empowering his people. The Lord of hosts hath purposed. He has made a plan. He has purposed something. He says, who will disannul it? Who has the power to go against God? Let's take a look now back in our text. So let us be convinced that of the fact that nobody, no group of people, no single person, no demonic force has any power against the believer. And we understand that there are great forces out there against us. We ought not to be naive and just think, well, I can just walk through the midst of a hailstorm. You know, I've heard of some cases of soldiers in the middle of battle. I can't remember which one now. I'm just thinking of one. There was one particular one. It might have been, it was one of the World War generals. Might have been Patton. I can't remember, but he was walking in the middle of a hailstorm and somebody of bullets, and someone said, "You need to get down," and he says, "There's not a bullet that could kill me. There's not a bullet made that can kill me," and he just walked on, you know. And I've heard other stories of people that have, you know, shrapnel has dropped stuff on them and they just, you know, looked around and they have felt somehow that they are protected until they get hit. And so the believer needs to be fully aware. We need to have our shield up, not just kind of like That's okay. I'm fine. I'm a Christian. But we need to have the shield up. We need to be prepared. Sword in one hand, a shield in the other, and all the other elements of the spiritual weapons that we read about. But at the same time, we can rest assured that no device that is used against us, whether it be Satan himself or the people that he uses to push to his agenda, it cannot be used against us successfully. The next verse there, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The horse prepared for the day of battle. Back in the day when they still rode on horses. Boy, World War I was a time of transition, wasn't it? So many cavalries got mowed down because they didn't quite understand that we were in a new era. But think back to when both armies would be on horses. And you know, those war horses, they got kind of addicted to the fight. And they would be pawing the ground, smelling the ground, and excited for the battle. And so that their owners would be preparing them, making sure that their hooves are in good shape, and if they were shod horses, you know, making sure that the shoes were good, weren't going to fall off in the middle of battle, and they're going to have a lame horse, doing everything they need to do. And, you know, as we see here, the horse is prepared against the day of battle. I think that preparing the horse for the day of battle is not always a bad thing. That there are preparations that we need to take. It's like, you know, locking your door at night. You know, it's a preparation that you've got to take. You don't just leave your door open and unlocked and say, well, you know, I'm not worried about it. God's going to protect me. I mean, maybe that's what you do if you live in the country and that's just the way people live. I'm talking about in an environment like we have here. You don't live that way. You make certain preparations. You know, we just heard on the news here the other day about I think it was down on the coast in Abbotsford or so, where someone was driving by at 5 o'clock in the morning and saw a house where there's a house was on fire, and they pulled up in the driveway and they laid on the horn, and everyone came out of the house, and then the mother went back in to get something and she ended up dying. They earthly possessions sometimes. It was not a person she was going after. And so we use that as a time to talk to our children about fire safety. You know, again, reminding them what our fire plan is. You know, it's good to prepare the horse for the day of battle. It's good to have a plan in place should we ever have a fire so that our children know exactly what to do. And that's just an illustration. I'm not building a doctrine on that, on the fire aspect, but just, you know, we are to be prepared. We are to have plans. But remembering that safety is of the Lord. We don't rest on the plan and say, okay, well, family, we've got a plan in place, so we're going to rest on the plan. No, we do everything possible. We try to, in the case of, let's say, of a fire, we try to make sure that there's nothing, that the iron isn't left on, that there's not pieces of cardboard, you know, tucked up against the furnace, obvious sorts of things where there could be, a fire could start. But our confidence is not in our plan. Our confidence is in the Lord. And that applies to so many different areas of life, right? You go on a trip. When I go on a trip, I'm always thinking, okay, what tools would I potentially need if I was to break down? And so I plan my tool list, and I have safety cones that I bring. I've been at a number of accident scenes going between here and Edmonton, and I've used these safety cones before at accident scenes. I have flares and all sorts of things to kind of plan ahead for what circumstances you might have. But at the end of the day, I'm not putting my trust in what I've done. I'm putting my trust in the Lord, and I've done my part to prepare the horse for the day of battle. So we are to prepare, but we are to be reminded that our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in the Lord. So let's take a look at in the book of Psalms chapter 20. We're going to look at a short passage of Psalms 20 verse, or the whole passage, 9 verses. Psalms chapter 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings, and accept thy burnt offering, sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. For know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Isn't that beautiful? Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. Got the order backwards there, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, we prepare the horse for the day of battle, but that's not where our confidence is. Our confidence is in the Lord. I encourage each one of you to think through in your own life. What, you know, are there areas in our own lives where we have to prepare the horse for the day of the battle, but really ultimately we're putting our trust in the Lord? We've done what we need to do, but the rest we're leaving with the Lord. And we need to do that. We need to be able to put our confidence in him. Let's take a look at Psalms 33. And remember, the Lord doesn't promise us that he will protect us from all injury. He's not going to protect us from all emotional hardships. But he says he'll give us the strength to go through it. Psalms 33, verse 17 through 21. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. What sort of circumstances have you had in your life, maybe in the past or maybe even now, where you need to put your confidence completely in the Lord? You know, I just think of when I went to a conference with a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, with a couple of Maritza and Clara. We went, and we were coming back over the Coquihalla, and we were in the middle of ginormous fog. And I mean, it was. I'm a fairly confident driver. This is my 28th year of driving, and I mean, some of you have driven way more than I have and have more experience, but you know, I've driven in some pretty bad conditions, you know, working in my career. And I mean, it was a blackout, the fog. I could not see ahead of me, barely ahead of me. I couldn't see the road at times. Couldn't see the white and the yellow stripes. And I'm thinking to myself, I know there's semis around me. I've seen them before we hit the fog bank. Where are they now? Are they slowing up ahead of me? Are they still going their regular speed? What's happening behind me? You know, where are the cliffs? You know, where are the drop-offs? And so I wasn't taking time to pray in my heart. I was praying out loud. I was praying out loud. My daughter's going to test. And the whole time, as I was making my way there, trying to keep a steady pace so that nothing's going to climb into me from behind. I'm not going to come and hit anything ahead of me. You know, there are times in our life when you know, circumstances like that, or even maybe it's more of a prolonged thing going on in our life, we just got to put our confidence in the Lord. And I know even now, as I've got some of this training on that I'm doing right now, some of it can be, you know, pretty intense. And to be able to, you know, I got sticky notes with verses on them. And I'll look at those and remind myself where my strength comes from. But behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Psalms 33:18. That's where the eye of the Lord is. Now let's take a look at the whole chapter of Psalms 121, another small chapter here. 121, familiar chapter. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Not the physical hills. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And the going out and the coming in the Old Testament, you probably recognize that phrase. That speaks about going out to battle, coming in from battle. So as we go out to wage battle, spiritual battle, the Lord's with us. When we let down that moat bridge, we leave our safety and we go out and we wage war, the Lord is with us as we come back. Take a look at Psalms 147. Psalms 147. Verses 10 and 11. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of the man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. He's not impressed with our strength. Doesn't matter how strong you are, how intellectual you are. He's impressed when we have a fear of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9, 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So it's not about whether we are swift, we are strong, wise, we have riches, we have understanding. Our strength is in the Lord. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 31, verse 1. Isaiah 31, verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They don't recognize where their strength comes from. We're reminded that safety is of the Lord in our verse there. Psalms 3:3 says, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Psalms 3:8 says, Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. And then let's take one last look at one last verse here. Isaiah 59, verse 19. I know this is a verse that is a favorite of Mrs. Weaver's. Psalms 59. Verse 19, So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You know, in our culture, in our day and age, this might not mean so much to us, just because we're not used to seeing battles in the way that they were fought in this time era, and I mean, we personally have not lived through any battles, but they would have a banner, a war flag that they would fly, And, you know, it's in later years, in more of a modern times, that countries would just, they would have their own flag, the flag of the country. But there used to be not only the flag of the country, but there used to be a war flag that basically said, it's on. We're going to fight you. And when God raises his banner up, you know, those that fight against God ought to be afraid. But you know, they don't. They don't even see the banner. And, you know, we carry his banner. And when you think about that, you know, you think about the standard bearer. The standard bearer's got both hands like this, right? They're not waging war and they're holding the banner. And for the Christian, yes, we are to be outfitted with the spiritual armor and all, but really we are just holding up the banner, God's war flag, and we just trust in him. And you know, when you think about the standard bearer during those battles, the standard bearer would be the least protected in the sense that they had no way to protect themselves, and they'd be the most highly sought after target. Because the enemy wanted the morale of that army to go down. Because as that flag would go down, it would the morale of the people would also go down. And so, you know, as a Christian, we need to raise his banner up. And at the same time, when we do that, we recognize we will be a target for this world. But again, remember that it's not in our own strength that we do things. I was thinking about Moses. You know, there he was that one time when they're fighting against the Amalekites, and God says, stand up there on that mountain and raise your arms up. He's sitting there raising his arms up. And as long as he had his arms up there, Israel would win. His arms started to flag down, and the Amalekites would win. So then he gets two helpers to come, Aaron and Hur. They come and they each take an arm and they lift it up. Well, God does that for us. It's in his strength that we win the battles, not in our own strength. So let's close the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and Lord, we thank you that we don't have to fight our own battles. We are to prepare the horse for battle. We're to be prepared. We're to be emotionally, well, even more so, spiritually prepared. And then emotionally prepared, physically prepared. But Lord, our strength, our reliance is on you. It's not on people. It's not on circumstances, it's not on our own strength, our own endurance. It's on you. Help us to remember that every time we run into situations when we need your help. Lord, we ask that you would go before us now in our morning worship service, that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.